From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Being Unashamed of the Gospel. In one of the most famous texts in Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, Paul declared, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He testified that although he might be ashamed of his own personal weaknesses, he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Indeed, he was thrilled by it, and he burned to proclaim it. As Dr. Cairns will explain, Christians face many temptations to be ashamed of the gospel, such as fear of man, rejection by society, or even fear of death. Yet, as we'll see, there are overwhelming reasons for believers not to be ashamed as they seek to spread the good news of salvation through Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called The Word, Necessary Food. The text is found in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If God so willed it, we could live without bread, even as Jesus did for 40 days. But we could not live without His Word. By that Word we were created, and by it alone can we be kept in being, for He sustaineth all things by the Word of His power. Bread is a second cause. The Lord Himself is the first source of our sustenance. He can work without the second cause as with it. And we must not tie Him down to one mode of operation. Let us not be too eager after the visible, but let us look to the invisible God. We have heard believers say that in deep poverty, when bread ran short, their appetites became short too. And to others, when common supplies failed, the Lord has sent in unexpected help. But we must have the word of the Lord. With this alone we can withstand the devil. Take this from us, and our enemy will have us in his power, for we shall soon faint. Our souls need food, and there is none for them outside of the word of the Lord. All the books and all the preachers in the world cannot furnish us with a single meal. It is only the word from the mouth of God that can fill the mouth of a believer. Lord, evermore give us this bread. We prize it above royal dainties.
As I read your holy word, help me see, Lord, help me learn. Holy Spirit, from its pages lead the way. Come and melt my stubborn will, make my heart and soul be still. As I read your word, may I heed it and obey. Like the first rays of morning light, it will pierce my darkest night, showing sins of doubt and fear within my heart. Plague my mind, then it brings cleansing hope that
mercy, Lord, help us learn. Holy Spirit, from its pages, lead the way, lead the way.
My eyes and let me see glimpses of truth you have for me. For in your word I find the truth that sets me free.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
couldn't think apart from the gospel. Read what the man wrote. He couldn't talk on any subject. He couldn't address any situation. He couldn't face any problem. He couldn't deal with any friend or any foe without focusing on the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was in his heart. The fact that God had sent his Son, who lived a perfect life, worked out a perfect righteousness, and died an atoning death, so that by his life he earned the right to heaven for Paul, and by his death he obliterated Paul's deserving to go to hell. That was something Paul could never get over. He could never simply nod his head and say, "Yes, I believe it." It moved him. What's happened? I'm not saying this critically of you. I start with me here. But let me ask you reverently, in God's name, and I mean that literally as I ask the question in God's name, for this is the question that he's asking. What has happened to us? What has happened to us? What on earth is going on in the minds of us, God's people? We can be moved by anything. We can be gripped by anything. Listen, I'm going to be, and if this sounds harsh or critical, well, hallelujah, it's meant to be. I'm not apologizing for it. But there are Christians in this very room, and you've been moved to such pitches of excitement because somebody scores a home run or a touchdown or whatever. And it's been years since you were stirred by the gospel. Now tell me, in God's name, in the name of him who took his Son and sent him to the cross, what is happening to us? And I include me there. What's wrong with my brain? I think it's not with the brain, it's with the heart. And I hope you'll take the same question. What's wrong with my heart that I've got so cold and so desperately disinterested that I can live my life and I can get all worked up about any stupid little ridiculous thing under the sun? But I'm never really thrilled with the gospel. Does it not thrill you at all tonight that the Son of God loved you and gave himself for you? Does it not thrill you that he lived a life of absolute obedience to God, and with every thought, every word, every deed, every purpose, he wove in the finest fibers of his own perfection a garment of absolute righteousness, and he has come to you and cast away all the filthy clouts of your own wickedness, and he's clothed you in that glorious garment? Does that not move your heart? When you go to Calvary's cross and you see him bathed in his own blood, and you see him there hanging between heaven and earth, bearing the wrath of man, bearing the wrath of devils, and then in the darkness of Golgotha, bearing the wrath of God. Does it not move you to hear the voice of dereliction, such a voice as earth has never heard before or since? Such a cry as angels never heard? Such a cry as even God had never heard? Such a cry as even hell could not produce. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Does it not move your heart? Does it not thrill your soul? Oh, Paul gloried. He gloried in this gospel. It was always fresh. But when he said, "I'm not ashamed," he not only meant, "I'm proud of it, I boast in it, I'm thrilled by it, I love it, I enjoy it, I live by it." He meant quite literally,
I am not ashamed of it. Matthew Henry said, I count him a Christian who is not ashamed of the gospel and whose life is not a shame to the gospel. By that standard, Paul was a mighty Christian. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I want you to think of that text very simply in these closing moments. I thought of it, I have preached in this text many times, so I'm going to deal with it very, very straightforwardly tonight, as triumphing over every temptation to be ashamed of the gospel. Can I make the obvious remark to start that there are many things that tempt Christians to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Obviously, there's always the fear of man and the fear of persecution. In Paul's day, that was a very real fear. Death stared Christians in the face at every step and turn. Imprisonment stared them in the face. We talk about discrimination rather glibly today. In those days, to be a Christian could cost you everything. Yet you know only of Paul, but of the early days of the Christian church, while there were people who gave way under pressure in those first two or three centuries, the overwhelming testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ faced with persecution was, you can kill the body, you can do whatever your hands can devise to do, but I will never deny Jesus Christ. You have often, I'm sure, heard preachers read the last statement of Polycarp at 86 years old as he was being led out to a martyr's death. Very simply, he said, can I be ashamed of him? No way. No way. But there, that fear could cause you, perhaps you have found that you really don't have too much cause to worry about persecution as yet. There are not too many of us in America who face the possibility of death just for being a Christian. But you're afraid of man. You're afraid of what somebody might think about you. You're afraid of what somebody might say about you. You're afraid of what it might cost you. That's one thing tempts Christians to be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel offends the wisdom of man, and sometimes that certainly tempts preachers. I'm amazed at how little real gospel preaching there's left in the world. Preachers are preaching anything but the gospel. Why? They have to have some new thing. What does that tell you? Even in evangelical churches. The gospel offends the wisdom of man. It did in Paul's day. It does in our day. There's nothing has brought scorn on Bible preachers more than preaching the old blood atonement. Many who are supposed to be Christians have mocked this doctrine of the blood. Without getting off on a tangent, that's one reason, not the only reason by any means, and much more exegetical reasons from Scripture, but that's, and theological reasons I should add, but that's one reason, because the world hates the blood atonement, that I will defy with every fiber in my being this movement among Bible believers to deny any value or virtue to the literal blood of Christ. That it's just blood that fell to the dust of Palestine and corrupted, even though the Bible calls it incorruptible blood. how the world is offended by the word of God's gospel. And people don't want to be counted obscurantists, intellectual pygmies, or whatever. Well, I want to tell you, I'm quite happy to be an obscurantist, if that's what it is, and an intellectual pygmy, if it means believing God and disbelieving the devil's lies. I'll believe God any day. The gospel offends the pride of man. It levels him and his religions into the dust. That's one reason there's so little gospel preaching in so-called Bible-believing churches now. We've got to give man some part to play in this whole scheme of salvation. We can say man's a sinner. He's totally depraved. That means all except his will, of course. Somehow or other, that escaped the fall. He's dead! Oh yes, he's dead. But he can still tell himself to be alive if he chooses to. It's the gospel that's being preached today. God has done his part. Now it's up to you to do your part. That's the gospel that's being preached today. The day that gospel gets to be preached in this pulpit, may God close our doors. Because that's not a gospel at all. These are things. I could go on. The gospel places you at odds with society. You're going to feel like the odd man out. And the longer you live in this country or any other country. And when I say in this country, I'm not singling America out to be particularly bad. I'm simply saying that it's true wherever you go. If you go to England, you'd be counted even odder. If you go to Europe, you'd be thought to be a Martian. You're far more likely to get a welcome in what are thought to be the heathen countries of the African jungles. You're far more likely to get a Christian welcome there than ever you'd be in any of these European capitals. The gospel puts you out of sync with the world. And that's always a temptation to compromise and to be ashamed of the gospel. But let me tell you, there are very good reasons never to be ashamed of it. And I will list them. And I will do my best not to preach them. Here are the reasons why Paul could say, I'm not ashamed. The power of the gospel removes all sense of shame. The gospel is the power of God. Look, when you have a message that's dynamite, that it can step in and do miraculous things, change lives, change homes, make vicious, wicked sinners into mighty saints of God. Why would you be ashamed of that? I told you this morning of a young man, a drunkard, drove himself to the edge of hell, a suicide's grave. Just this very Sabbath day, sought the Lord. And I want to tell you, when God gets a hold of that heart, to be a new heart and a new creature. The friend that has been bringing him to church was just as vile and wicked a sinner and is completely revolutionized by that same gospel. Those are the two men who came to this preacher at my brother's grave and said, will you speak to us about our soul? Why would I be ashamed of the gospel when it can take men like that and revolutionize their lives? It's the power of God. The power of God. I've often told you, and I keep telling because I never get over it, for I was a very young, raw preacher on my very first gospel mission. But when I had the opportunity, and I didn't realize what was happening at the time, but when I had the opportunity to kneel at a church form with what turned out to be the most immoral, vicious, foul-tongued, filthy woman in the whole vicinity in which I had gone preaching, and saw her leave a pool of what Dr. Paisley aptly calls the true holy water, the tears of a penitent soul, and see her rise a new creature in Christ. Why would I be ashamed of the gospel? It's the power of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.